So we're here with Zina Koku, who's in Toronto on her way to a holiday. And Zina announced her retirement at the end of this past season. And she's had a long, stellar career. And I think it goes back to 2000, around then, or the late 1990s. And we're excited to talk with Zina and just get her impressions of her career and of course, find out a little bit about her plans going forward. Zina, are you there?
Hello, yes.
Hi, Zina. Great. So thanks for spending time with us. So I guess the first question that I usually ask athletes when they retire is, you know, obviously it's a big decision for all athletes. And had you been thinking about it for a time before, and how did you come to the decision?
Yeah, I'd been thinking about it for a while. I wasn't quite ready to retire after 2014, and so I decided that I was going to do 1 to 2 more years. Just to have a few races where I enjoyed, or maybe a few other experiences, a little bit less restrictive. I knew last spring that I was 90% sure that I was just going to do 1 year.
Right. So as time went on, you kind of come to a point where you know that you know, whatever, the next season or something's going to make a difference, and unless something changes along the way, but that's pretty well what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I needed to have met a few higher standards and within myself as well, but also in terms of getting karting and staying on the team and the selections, all that stuff, but it was also within myself. I wasn't achieving results that I wanted, and I knew it was time to move on. And in my heart, I'd had enough of, I love racing and I love training, but at the same time, I felt that I was ready to move on and do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for most of us, we don't know, we get a glimpse as to what it's like for the athletes that are out there, you know, the day in, day out routine and living out of a suitcase or a hotel. I remember talking with the gal on the U.S. team, Susan Dunkley, and just about, you know, just the ups and downs. And part of the struggle, of course, is that you do have a big component of the time is in Europe, and you end up with a lot of juggling to make it work. When you look back over your career, do you see a big change in biathlon from where it was? I think you started, when did you make the national team? What year was that?
In 2001.
2001, so
for the junior national team. But
that's the start of your induction into the program. And when you look back over time, do you see a pretty a big change over time, or is it more or less the same but just a little different?
No, there's been a lot of changes structurally within the team. Of course, teammate changes and,
things of that nature for sure. When you look at where the team is now and you know that when back in 2001 where it was at, you have to feel a sense of pride in what's happened with the sport in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot. My first World Juniors that I made to Hendy Mensah's Grecia in 2001, we only sent 3 athletes, 2 women and one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty tiny team compared to our program now. And we also had the increase of the changes. I mean, with youth world championships as well added on to the junior.
But, right.
And that with that, as the years went on, then we not only had more athletes in the program, but there were more staff, and there were times where we had a lot of money, like going towards 2010, and there's been times where our budget has been very tight.
Yep. It's always tough to make the same thing happen, but with less money for sure, or less. Tough out there. I know. I remember Keegan Randall just and Jeff Ellis just had a child, and we were remembering that you know, years ago she was the only U.S. team member back at the Torino Olympics, And similar to what you're saying, that way back there was a much smaller contingent. And now when you look at the level of the athletes and the number of athletes, it's a pretty pretty big change. And now Canada is really, becoming a much more important element on the World Cup scene, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. There's been a big change in that.
When you go back to the time that you were, involved in the program in a big way, I think that was the time when Becky Scott and Sarah Renner were also having big years in cross country. Was there much collaboration between the teams at that time?
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure because I was pretty young, starting out and not knowing the two structures. But yeah, I don't believe so.
When you go back to that time and you see the trajectory, and I think, we were talking just before, the interview started about your results, and I'd like to talk a bit about the top results that you had in your career. One of them, of course, being the medal back in, I think you said it was 2006, 2007?
Yeah.
And tell us about that bronze and where it was and how you were feeling that day, if you can remember the circumstances.
Sure. Yeah, it was the first race of the season, and I'd had a really strong training year. I really didn't have any I had high goals, so I didn't have any high expectations. We had a quote we started out that year of no expectations, no limitations. And yeah, that's how I started the day. I remember being pretty calm, and I also remember when I was in the start pen, there happened to be a rainbow over when you go to start, it's like you can look over down into the lake, and it was kind of over towards the lake, over into our stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And my massage therapist, who was in our start pen staff, she was like, "All dreams come true under the rainbow," in her very spiritual sense. And yeah, that's how I started out, and it was an incredible day for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a magical start, kind of a little bit of and it is a lot of everything coming together, both physically and mentally. You have to believe you can do it and feel the calmness out there. When you go through that day and the skiing and the shooting, was that feeling there during the race that you felt like, geez, it's all coming together, I can do it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't totally remember the whole race, but I remember I felt just calm skiing and shooting and strong, felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed one shot in a third shooting in prone. And then I remember the last standing, I was taking my time, making sure I hit every shot.
Sure.
But it wasn't super difficult for me either. It just flowed.
Right. It just flowed. I think that's kind of the way others have described it. It just flowed and it just went the way it was supposed to. And there's no nervousness and it's just a calmness, but you get the job done. When you come out to each race, is it kind of the idea is to kind of replicate that feeling if you can? And I guess that becomes a tough order for every athlete.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that you're trying to replicate it or trying to get to that same feeling. And of course, we go through lots of different techniques that are supposed to help to get into that same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely magical when it just happens, I think.
Sure.
There are just times where you don't really try to make it happen, it just happens. And then you can have great race days where you have to work at it a bit more and you can still make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were watching the World Championships with the relay team, and and watching the guys, you know, getting the job done to win the bronze. How nerve-wracking is that for you on the sidelines when you're watching your teammates, knowing exactly what's going on for them because you've been there before?
Yeah, I don't know if I wasn't really nervous. Oh, I guess I felt some nervous when they came in to shoot. Or I was just excited. I was like, wow, they've really, all four of them are just nailing it today, and it flowed for every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a kind of a nervous anticipation. You're hoping it's going to work, but you know that, you know, they're the ones that are actually having to do it. And you know, we were talking before as well about the women's relay team and the results that you guys have had, and there were some pretty astounding you know, efforts that the team put together. I think you came fourth in France. That was the best result, correct?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that race and the feeling, because, I mean, the relay, of course, is individual, and yet it's together. You have to work as a team, but you also have to get the job done individually.
For sure. Yeah, that one, I just have to think about who started and their order. Yeah, we were all quite solid. I think we just stuck in the game right from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and we just held on to staying in the front. And I remember when I was passed off, I was the anchor, I was like, oh wow, we're still in the top six here.
Yes.
And it was pretty exciting. Coming into the last shooting, I was a little bit nervous, and I remember that the French girl, Marie Brunet, she shot quite quickly beside me, and I just stuck to my own routine, and then use my ski speed to catch up and pass her.
Yeah,
but it was definitely exciting that we were able to put it all together. All of us, all having our own individual races, but working together as a team. And we were really like clicking that day as a team. We were, with lots of encouragement going on and saying the right things to our teammates to help them stay in that zone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that was the best result for the Canadian relay team up until the men's bronze at the Worlds this past season, correct?
Yes, I think so.
And it seems to me, you know, just watching the team evolve and you know, everybody contributing to some level of showing that it can be done, you know, I mean, just remembering that I remember you guys jumped up at the end of the race. And, you know, there's a nice, great shot of all of you sort of just doing a kind of a high five that way. But it has to resonate with the team in terms of just coming fast forward to the Worlds this past season where the guys did it. And the believing and then the doing are all part of the formula.
For sure. And it's pretty tricky to have four people click on the same day. If we don't have a, you know, 20 athletes to choose the four strongest for that day, such as a bigger team would have. And yeah, when you finally do it and you have a performance, not just a great individual performance, but a team performance in a relay, I think it really elates the entire team, both the team that did well, the women, or say this year, the men. It brings the entire team up, and yeah, you start to expect a little bit more out of yourself and out of your teammates. You're like, oh, we just did that.
Yep. I think you're right. There is a collective energy that resonates with everybody, and like you said, putting it all together for everybody on the same day. I mean, I think that day when the guys did it, the French team was, you know, just having troubles that day and nothing could work, and yet they have Martin Fourcade, which is, you know, the best guy in the world. So it can happen to anybody that it doesn't go that the way you want it. But watching the Canadian guys do it was wonderful. When you think back at your career and the bronze and the relay, are there other results that stand out for you? Because I know you've had some other events where, you know, you had great results. Are there other races that stand out for you?
Yeah, I mean, even competing last year at the IBU Cup in Canmore, that was kind of a highlight for me. It struggled pretty much all season and then took a month off. I think I was sent home from the World Cup in January and couldn't compete until the end of February. Mm-hmm. And I went and did a few other things. I did some ski touring and then started preparation to have a peak performance at the IBU Cups. And I did. I got onto the podium and I had a fourth. And that was a strong, it was a good feeling for me to be like, okay, I was able to put it together at the end.
Yes.
And it kind of motivated me again to do one more year before I said goodbye to the sport too. So.
Yeah, it's an affirmation that that you can do it, and I think it's, you know, we all know it's important. It doesn't matter whether it's sport or any part of life. Being able to do it is part of the
for sure
of the formula.
And competing at home is really fun, and it was great to have again that opportunity this year at the World Cup. So
yeah, that
was awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up, and the World Cup in Canmore, which is the first in many, many years. How did that resonate at home, and how did that, you know, was there more pressure and or just a complete feeling of, you know, it's great that we finally have a World Cup back in Canada?
Yeah, there was definitely the feeling of, oh, it's so great that we have a World Cup back. I think there was definitely pressure on, say, all the athletes, and yeah, some handled it better than others. We had also had a tricky week. It was quite windy for our sprint, and I think the men's as well.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so a little bit of unluckiness in the range with wind, and yeah, a little bit of pressure.
Sure.
But it was incredible to finally have brought a World Cup back to Canmore since, after, I don't know, over 20 years.
Yeah, something like that. So it's and having back-to-back races with the States was just a good North American push.
Yeah, it really was. So it would be nice to have more of those for sure.
So Zina, you know, talk a little bit now about the coaching you've had over the years, because I know that you know, back I don't know about the changes. I can't remember them all, but of course you will. And just talk a little bit about the coaching that you've had over the years and how important that was to you know, getting you on the podium and the results that you were able to enjoy through your career.
Yeah. Well, so I started in Red Deer in 98 with a coach there that was just trying to get some athletes starting for Alberta Winter Games.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dennis Shirley. He just kind of introduced me to the sport, and then I decided to take it a bit further. And after high school, then I moved to Canmore for the summer to train with Rocky Mountain Racers under Richard Bruda and Scott Diamond. And then I ended up staying in Canmore, obviously.
Right.
And then that winter, I made the World Juniors team, headed by Richard Bruda. And after that year, he became the national team coach, and I moved into the national team program.
Sure.
And I was with Richard until after Torino in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then Richard took a break from coaching, and I was coached by Roger Archibald for 2 years. And we had a very different structure because Roger lived in Ottawa and so had to travel back and forth quite a bit. So
sure.
We had a couple of assistant coaches as well, and Tom Zidek was our assistant coach and our WAC tech.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 2 years. And then it was Jarrett Coyne for 3 years till 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we were divided into a men's and women program as well. In, I think, 2008 that started. And Matthias Ahrens took over the men, and Jarrett was in charge of the women. And then in 2011, I didn't get karting, and I decided that I didn't want to train with the national team, and I went back to being coached by Richard Bruda under a new team. That's a development team called BATC, Basel and Alberta Training Center.
Okay.
And it's a Alberta provincial program, trying to get the athletes to World Juniors and then hopefully towards the national team.
Sure.
And I stayed, oh no, then I went back to the national team last year, 2014-2015, and then again coached by Richard this past season. And I was coached the year before by Roddy Ward.
Okay.
So I had a number of coaches, but Richard Bruda was the coach that I had the longest in my career. And
yeah,
probably the one that I have the most confidence in for a number of reasons.
Sure.
Yeah, he started me out, and I saw a lot of successes early on in my career. And also, near the end, maybe not as high of getting on a podium, but still had some great results.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
So it sounds like you know, it's a world of change and an adaptation that athletes have to go through, you know, in terms of the way the structure. Because I mean, coaches do come and go, and the system evolves. Certainly, the level at which Canada is at now is certainly puts them in a little bit of a different bracket than the old days. But is there, When you were on the team this year, did you see a difference than in previous years, given the results that the team has had?
Sorry, in terms of which way?
Oh, I guess just in terms of the way the camaraderie or the expectation or the level of interplay. I mean, obviously, when you started out, it was a much smaller entity, and now it's larger, and you know, more opportunity and more athletes in the mix.
Right, yeah, there's definitely, I would say, more expectations to get on that podium compared to, yeah, before 2007, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, like, we've seen a number of podiums. Not a lot, I guess, if you compare it to a bigger nation, of course, but
yes.
Yeah, for our teams, that's when it really kind of started, and a lot more top tens, and we saw changes not only with, we had a lot of changes, coaching changes, but also we brought in, we're able to bring in more wax techs. We eventually got this truck and trailer system.
Yes, that's also new. That's right.
Athletes stayed a lot longer as well. Instead of retiring at the age of 24, 25, they stayed until they were, you know, around 30 or more. And I think that also affects, helps with results. It does take a few years, to get yourself to the top.
Sure.
And yeah, with all of that, and then with getting results, then for sure there's an expectation, to get those results and the belief, of course.
Sure. Well, it's all part of evolving, and that's how you get to be better and reach higher rungs on the ladder. And it seems
yeah,
the team is doing that, and you know, everybody contributes to that whole formula. So it's great to see the team is doing well and the results that are coming.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see the evolution.
Yeah, absolutely, especially from your perspective, because you know the way it was way back when there was,
yeah,
you know, when there was only four of you. So
yeah, going to the World Cup, and we have one wax tech instead of four, a wax tech that doesn't speak a word of English, or only one coach, and
yep,
yeah, under five athletes for sure, maybe two women and two men, and or less.
Yep. Well, it's great, Zena. It's great to see that you've been a part of that whole evolution, and you know, yourself and I think other athletes like Gwelek, and you know, there's a lot of contributors to the program and making,
oh, definitely,
you know, getting it happening and making people believe or helping people believe, and of course having young development athletes is also important to bring in and fill the ranks when people like yourself say it's time to hang up the
yeah,
the
totally
rifle. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen for Zena Coker now. What's on the agenda for the next little while and down the road ahead?
Well, I'm going to take some well-deserved rest and a little bit of backpacking. Right now, some climbing, and then I'll have to get a job. not entirely sure exactly what I'll be quite up to. I completed doula training last summer and am working towards the DONA certification of that, but hopefully working as a doula this summer and then potentially going to school in the fall in Calgary to get my GPA up because my original plan was to go into midwifery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit difficult to get into the program, so as you need a 4.0. So working towards that as one of my potential career choices.
Well, it all sounds interesting, and it's nice to get a little break after all the hard work, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's great, Zena. Well, listen, thank you so much for spending time with us. Wish you all the best on your backpacking and challenges ahead, and we want to thank you for spending time and for contributing to the team, and I'm sure lots of people wish you well and hope to see you back out on the circuit at some point, and we wish you all the best going forward.
Well, thank you very much.